We're in the middle of Torah Dalet in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 9, the right-hand column, a little bit more than halfway down the page, in the second paragraph, on the line that begins with the word Devorim, and then there's Vezeh Pirish Umeso Vadchu Amaya. We'll give a one-minute introduction, I hope a short introduction, of what we had till now, just this last piece leading into tonight's shiur. Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter discussed the fact that when a person does an Avera, one of the things that happens is that the words regarding that mitzvah in the Torah that the person violated, or the Avera that clearly written, those words become inscribed on the person's bones. There's a pasuk that says, Vatihi avonosam chakuka alatzmoisam, that their sins were engraved on their bones. And Rabbeinu Zal set forth in this chapter on Likutei Moran a procedure through which a person gets that engravement eliminated from their bones. The highlight, the most important part of it was vidui dvarim in front of a Talmud Chacham, which meant confession, a person verbalizing their sin, speaking openly, saying, I'm sorry that I committed this and this specific sin, and detailing what it is. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about doing it in front of a Talmud Chacham, doing it in front of a tzaddik. And he brought proof from psukim, etc., to explain why this works and how this works exactly. Now we're up to the point where Rabbeinu Zal quoted a story from the Gemara in Baba Basra, where it discusses certain outstanding incidents, stories that happened with one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, where he saw these incredible visions out at sea. And in this story is included and hinted everything that Rabbeinu Zal discussed in this chapter. Rabbeinu Zal related that the story was that Rabba Bar Chana was once out at sea in a ship, and he saw a very large fish that had a sheretz in its nostrils. It had some kind of a bug, some kind of a worm in its nostrils, and this thing went in and killed the fish. As a result, we know that the ocean, the sea, has a nature, a tendency, that it doesn't keep anything dead inside of it. And as a result, the sea spit out this fish onto the shore. And because of the huge size of this fish, when it landed on the shore, it destroyed 60 cities. It was that large that it fell on 60 cities and destroyed them. And the people from 60 other cities were able to come and partake from the food that came from this fish. And the people from a third set of 60 cities were able to take from this fish and pickle it, salt it, and keep it for a later time, to use at a later time to be eaten. And the Gemara concludes by saying that from one eyeball of this fish, they were able to draw forth 300 barrels of oil. And then the Gemara says that when we returned 12 months later, 1 year later, we returned to this site, we saw, Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, we saw that they were breaking off from the bones of this fish, they were breaking up off boards in order to rebuild those 60 cities that had been destroyed originally by this fish falling upon them. This was a story in the Gemara, and Rabbeinu Zal is now interpreting this story based on different items found in Psukim and otherwise to relate it to the discussion that we had. So Rabbeinu Zal began by saying that the ship, the word, the Hebrew word for ship that's used here is the word Sfina. Sfina means a ship. And the word Safun also means very important, very significant. So Rabbeinu Zal said that when Rabba Bar Bar Chana said we were riding on this ship, he was referring to the fact that we were analyzing the chashivus of Klal Yisrael, the malchus, the kingdom, the kedusha. And we saw this huge fish. Rabbeinu Zal said that Klal Yisrael is symbolized by a fish. The pasuk says the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to his sons, v'yidgu laroiv bekerav horetz, they should multiply like fish compared to dogim. And it had this sheretz in its nostrils. Excuse me? We were up to the Rashbam. Okay, great, that's right. Okay. We had left off last week. I forgot. I thought we went a little bit further than we had. Let's pick up from where we left off. We're up to the Rashbam on this story in the Gemara. In Baba Basra, you don't have Rashi for most of the Gemara, and the Rashbam, his grandson, instead wrote a Pirush on that Gemara. Kavra, this is on top of page 9, right-hand column, right on the top, that left-hand the small paragraph on the left. Kavra, dog. That's the Aramaic word for a fish, kavra. Ochlo tino, sheretz koton, a small sheretz. Beusai, benechirov shel dog, nichnas hasheretz. Through the nostrils of this fish, there entered a sheretz, a rodent. Vaadchuho mayo, hidichuhu mayo, the sea spit it out, vehishlichuhu liabosho, and hurled this fish onto the seashore. Kiderech yam she'enoi soivel dovor meis, as is the nature of the ocean, that it doesn't allow anything that's dead to remain inside of it. Chorvu minei shitin mechuzo, shehishlichuhu hamayim al shishim krochim, the water threw this fish upon 60 cities, v'shavron kulam, and it destroyed all of them. Shehoye godol kol kach, this fish was that large in size. While this fish was fresh, the people from 60 cities, the population of 60 cities, came and were able to get food from it. There was enough food to feed them. And then, the people from another 60 cities who lived far from there, they salted this fish, the remaining portion, after the first 60 cities got through with it, they took the remaining part and salted it or pickled it, v'nosuhu l'mekoimam, and they took it back to their place. Then the Gemara went on to say that from one eyeball of this fish, they brought forth 300 barrels of oil. Michat galgal odeino, migalgal enoi, from the eyeball of the fish, lokhu shemen tlas meogarvi, they took oil 300 barrels worth. And then a year later, Hava Menasri Livnois Me'atzmois Hadog Oisan Mechuzo Shehipil. Oisan Mechuzo Shehipil. A year later, the people had returned to take from the bones of that fish and to use it for the reconstruction of those 60 cities that it had destroyed. This is a story that's presented in the Gemara, obviously to teach us a message. Rabbeinu Zal gives one of the interpretations for this story. The Marsha gives additional commentaries on this. Each one of the Meforshim gives their interpretation of this story. Rabbeinu Zal says, Pirush. By the way, just a reminder that before Rabbeinu Zal gave this series of shiurim on the Mamorim of Rabba Bar Bar Chona, Rabbeinu Zal said that this rabbi himself, Rabba Bar Bar Chona, appeared to him and requested from him that he should give a series of lectures explaining and clarifying these stories in the Gemara about him. And he said, I will help you to expound on them and to clarify the message that's found inside of them. Rabbeinu Zal says, Pirush Sfina, Loshen Chashivus, Bechinas Malchus. The word Sfina, which means a ship, also is Miloshen Sofun V'choshuv, referring to the Malchus, the kingdom. Sherabba Bar Bar Chona Chokar B'sichloi Oidois Hamalchus Eich Bnei Yisrael Malin Oiso. Rabba Bar Bar Chona is hinting to the fact that he had thought deeply in his mind. He went out at sea. What is the sea? The sea refers to the brain of a person. The pasuk says Ki Molo Haoretz Deyos Hashem Kamayim Layam Mechasim, that when Mashiach comes, the world will be filled with an understanding of Hashem, like the water, like the depth of the water that covers the ocean floor. So we see that the ocean symbolizes depth of thought, depth of perception. Rabba Bar Bar Chona was thinking very deeply about the Malchus Dikdusha. The Chazin on High Kavra, and he saw a very huge fish, Yisroel Mechunim B'Shem Dogim. One of the nicknames that's used for Klal Yisroel is fish. Kamei Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Vayechi, V'yidgu Loroiv Bekerev Horetz. Yaakov Avinu blessed his children that they should multiply over the entire world. And he compared them to Dogim, fish specifically. The Yosvalei Achlo Tilo B'Nechirov. This fish, a sheretz, entered into its nostrils. Rabbeinu Zal says the nose What does the nose represent? Zebchinas tfiloson shel Yisrael. The nose represents the tfilos of Bnei Yisrael. Kama shekosev, as the pasuk says, Yeshaya utehilosi echtoim loch. I send up my tfila to you, Hashem, through my nostrils. Shenis arev sheretz. What does it mean when it says a sheretz, a rodent, entered into the nostrils? Hainu tumo bitfilosoi v'avodosoi. This refers to a Jew experiencing a tumo entering into his tefillah and into his serving Hashem. He suddenly hits a mashber, a big problem erupts in his tefillah or in his serving Hashem. Ubilbeloisoi. And this problem caused the person to feel very confused, very troubled. And this Jew suddenly found himself like he had crashed into a cement wall, and he wasn't able to serve Hashem with a shlemus the way he wanted to. Ma oso ish hazeh. What did the Jew do upon encountering this? Oso sholosh bechinos sanal. This person went ahead and carried out the three pieces of advice that we discussed earlier in this chapter, which are three hainu, hiskashrus latzadik. The first thing this person did was attach himself to a tzaddik. The second item was unasinas hatzdoka, giving tzedaka to this tzaddik. And the third item, the vidui dvorim. The third item was confession before the tzaddik. The ze pirish, this is what the Gemara is referring to when the Gemara mentions the three next events that took place. The Gemara said, umesa, the fish died. V'adchuhu maya, the second thing was that the ocean spit it out. And the third thing was, v'shodyuhu laguda, the ocean hurled this fish onto the seashore. V'hizkir ha-sholosh b'chinois me'elo l'sato. The Gemara lists the three items that we discussed earlier in descending sequence, listing the most important item first, the final item first, and then going back a step and back a step. Umeso, the Gemara said that the fish died. Ze bechinas vidui dvorim. That represents the concept of confession. Kamoi shekosuv, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, kol hamumsin misvadin. Those people that are ready to die, when a Jewish court is planning on putting a person to death for a crime that they committed that warranted a death penalty, the person is told to confess before his death. And the Gemara uses this expression, kol hamumsin misvadin. Death goes together with confession. So when the Gemara here says it died, the Gemara is hinting to the first tikkun, which was the confession. Next, va'adchuhu mayo, the water expelled this fish. Ze bechinas tztoko. This represents the mitzvah of tztoko, kemoi shekosuv, about which the Torah says in many places, it refers to it relating to water. As the pasuk says, shlach lachmecho al pnei amayim. Extend your waters, spread out your waters over the sea. Spread out your bread over the ocean. Referring to the mitzvah of tztoko. Meaning, the Gemara says, give, because you never know when you or one of your descendants is going to need it, and then you're going to find that if you gave at the time that you were in a position to give, then when you're in a position to have to take, there'll be those that'll be there for you to give. If you'll do chesed for other people when you're in a position to be on the giving end, then chas v'sholom, if you or your children or your grandchildren will ever chas v'sholom need, there'll be those that'll be there to help them. So the Gemara uses this expression, the Torah uses this expression, shlach lachemcha al pnei amayim. Spread out your bread, send it out, meaning knowing that at some future date, right now, you might not see it coming back to you, but be prepared that at some future date, you're going to reap the benefits of this mitzvah. Uksiv, there's a second pasuk, ashrechem zoyre al kol mayim. Fortunate are those who plant in all the waters. Again, referring to this inyan of Zaru Lachem Litztoka, the pasuk says. So we see that Tztoka is used to refer to this Va'adchu Amaya, the water is pushing something, this Shlach Lachmo Al Pnei Amayim, and the water pushes this bread from one place to the other till it comes back to the owner. Vishodyuhu, that's the second tikkun, the giving Tztoka to the tzaddik. The third item is Vishodyuhu Legudo, that the ocean expel this fish onto the shore. The Hebrew word, the word that the Gemara uses here for seashore is Guda. Rabbi Nizal says, Hatzadik Nikro Guda. The tzaddik is also called Guda. Guda means a shore, the seashore. Guda also means a fence, because the seashore serves as a fence to lock in the ocean, to prevent it from going out, breaking the barriers, and going out and flooding everything. So Rabbi Nizal says, a tzaddik is also referred to as a fence. The leaders of Klal Yisrael are referred to as a fence. Loshen geder, shehu goider, pirtzoisein shel Yisrael. There are psukim throughout the Navi that refer to the Jewish leaders as a fence around the Torah. They're the ones who put a fence around the pritzus, around those things that need to be locked in, protected. The morals of the Jewish people, etc., that they're the ones who set up the barriers to tell a person how far they can go. V'zeh v'shodyuhu l'guda, shehikriv esatzmoy lahat tzadik. Being thrown on the shore refers to bringing yourself close to the tzadik. V'yidei sholish b'chinoy seilu, and through the fact that the person was zeicha to carry out these three items, number one, becoming close to a tzadik. Number two, giving tzedakah to the tzaddik. Number three, confessing to the tzaddik, meaning being very open and honest with him and telling him what your shortcomings are in religion so that he's in a position to prescribe a path that's suitable for you. How can he tell you what you should be doing in religion, what stages you should be developing in, if he doesn't know what your ups and downs are, what your problems are? Rabbi Nizal says that's one aspect of it. Rabbi Nizal says now that by doing this, the choruv minei shiten mechuza, 60 cities were destroyed, the Gemara said. Shalidei hamisa hainu vidui dvorim, through this death, which refers to the confession, helo es hamalchus mibein hasitrachra, this person was zeichet to elevate the malchus, the kingdom of Kedusha, from the hands of the Satan. When a Jew commits a sin, There exists a power of leadership, of authority in the world. That authority Hashem intended to be given to the Jewish people. The Torah refers to them as Bini Bechori Yisrael, my firstborn. V'atem tiuli mamleches koyhanim v'goy kodosh, a nation of kings, kol Yisrael b'nei melochim heim. When the Jews act properly, this kingdom is in their hands. Every single time a Jew commits a sin, he's relinquishing, he's giving up his malchus, giving it into the hands of the Satan, into the hands of the Sitrachra, the other side, meaning the nations of the world. The fact that today we have a concept of superpowers, where it's not the land of Israel that's considered, that's accepted as the leader of the world, the leading kingdom, the leading empire in the world, but it's other nations, is a sign of this Malchus Digdusha being elsewhere. The kingdom is not with the Jewish people in any obvious way, but rather it's found in the hands of strangers. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hat tzaddik koyro lo es haderech hayosher," and the tzaddik prescribed for this person a good path for them. K'mo shekosov b'haftorah Bereishis, as is written in the Haftorah of Parshas Bereishis, "Achriv horim ugevois," Hashem says, "I will destroy." There's going to come a time when I'm going to destroy mountains and valleys. Remez al churban memsheles ho'akim. This refers to the fact that there's going to come a time when Hashem is going to destroy those that today appear to be like mountains. Today they appear to be very tall and powerful, referring to the other kingdoms. And Hashem says, and I will lead those that are blind on a path that they never knew before, a path that they never knew existed. This refers to the tzaddik through a person attaching himself to a tzaddik, giving tzedakah to the tzaddik, and vidui dvarim in front of the tzaddik. He gives the tzaddik the power to destroy the malchus of the sitrachra, because those words of the sins that were originally inscribed on the person's bones, we said that when the person confesses, the words of confession are actually those letters that were inscribed on the bones exiting from the person's body, so that the malchus is being released from this exile that it's in within the tumah, that's represented by this engravement in the bones of the person, it's released and it's returned to its proper place. Zarka, we said. Return it to its original place, which its rightful place, which is among the Jewish people. Ze bechinas proshas drochim kanal. And this also refers to the crossroads that we spoke about earlier, that in the story that we mentioned a few weeks ago in this Torah. Veshitin mechuza, the 60 cities, why specifically 60 cities were destroyed, and we say the 60 cities represents Malchus, remez al alias hamalchus. The fact that 60 cities were destroyed represents that the kingdom was removed from one place, its wrong place, and returned to the rightful place. Dichsiv bo, the Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Shishim Hema Malochis. The number 60 refers to kingdom. The children of Avram Avinu, the Gemara says he had 60 descendants that came forth from him, and they were the leadership of the world after his passing away. Avram Avinu was called Av Hamoin Goyim. He was the king. He was recognized as a king at the time, the first official Jewish king. And after him came forth these 60 descendants, whom the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim refers to as Malchus. They are the symbol of kingdom. So we see that this destruction of these 60 cities represents the Malchus being destroyed within the hands of the Goyim and restored and returned to its rightful place. Va'ochlu minei shitin mechuza, and 60 cities had enough food to eat from this fish, fresh. Remez al shnei midos rois shel chai medaber. This goes back to what we discussed 2 weeks ago regarding the midos rois, the bad characteristics that come from chai and medaber. Sha'al yodoi bo anius. That's how a person has, Rachmon Otzlan, poverty. People that suffer from poverty, Rabbein Azal showed earlier, how that's related to the midos rois that come from chai and medaber. Vayidei tztoko mesakein oisom. Through the act of giving tztoko, we explain that a person corrects those problems. If you recall, we discussed this earlier in the Torah. Vayamshich shefan. A person is able to bring forth wealth, ashirus, whatever the person needs. Shefa, sustenance, bechlal. Vizeh ochlu minei v'shitin mechuza. This is why the Pasuk says they were able to eat, they were nourished, 60 cities. Remez al bechinas shishim giboirim shemisham bo parnosa. This refers to another concept of 60. The Gemara says in Tainus that where does the parnosa of a Jew come from? From which attribute of Hashem does our parnosa come from? From gevura. That's why we say Mashiv Ruach Umered Ageshem is said within the bracha of Givurois. Ato Gibor Loilam Hashem, Chaimes Madra Mashiv Ruach Umered Ageshem. Because the Gemara shows from Psukim that it's the Givura of Hashem that he's able to sustain the world. He's able to nourish the world. That's why the Tosfos Yontov says that at Birkas Hamozoin we say Nevorech Elokeinu Shechalnu Mishaloi. Why don't we say Nevorech Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei? Why Elokeinu? Elokeinu, Elokim is Midas Hadin, Gevura, showing that Parnosa comes from Gevurois, Gevurois Gshomim. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Tainus, Maskirin Gevurois Gshomim, that Geshem is a symbol of the Gevura of Hashem. So Rabbein Azal says the 60 cities here represents the concept of Parnosa, Shefa, which is also represented by Shishim Giboirim. Shlomo HaMelech says in Shoshim, Shishim Giboirim Soviv Lo Mi Giboire Yisrael, 60 Giboirim surrounding the Melech. Kamoy Shekosuv Gevurois Gishomim. So we see that the concept of Parnosa, we showed earlier that Gassus, that through Dvorim Betelim, by a person speaking Dvorim Betelim, and also Gaiva, those two things led to poverty. The Gemara says those two things lead to poverty. And the tikkun for that is tztoka, because we showed from the Gemara how tztoka corrects this poverty. Therefore, Rabbein Azal says here that also this concept of va'ochlu minei, the whole power of shefa, parnoso, also comes from these shitin mechuzah, these shishim giboirim, that are corrected through the person's vidui dvorim and giving tztoka to the tzaddik. And 60 cities were able to salt from this fish to use at a future date. This goes back to what we learned earlier regarding a Jew correcting the two bad types of midos that come from Daimim and Sameach, which are Atzvus, depression, and Taivos Rois, evil desires, as we learned earlier. Rabbi Nezal says, Al Yidei Kirvosei La Tzadik, by coming close to the Tzadik. Why? How do we see that coming close to a Tzadik helps a person eliminate depression and Taivos Rois? Ki hatzadik hu bris melach olam. A tzadik is the symbol of bris. The Zohar HaKadosh says, man tzadik, man de notar bris. What Jew is given this title of tzadik? One who is shomer habris, one who keeps the covenant pure, one who's pure in their relations with women, in how they conduct themselves related to those items. We find that Moshe was not called Moshe HaTzadik. Yosef was known as Yosef HaTzadik, Boaz HaTzadik, the Gemara says, because they passed certain very outstanding tests in this specific area of Tikkun HaBris. So we see that Tzadik is called Bris, and Bris is related with salt. There's a pasuk in the Chumash that says, Bris Melach Olam. Rabbi Nezal says, Gam Atzvus V'Taivois Boim Midamim Achurim. We know that when a person suffers from depression or evil desires, that comes from a spoilage in the blood, that the blood has become spoiled. Vayidei Melach Poileit Hadomim Horoim. We know that it's the nature of salt. Salt removes blood. When there's blood that doesn't belong in meat, that we want to extract from the meat, by salting it, the salt causes the blood to be removed. So too, the tzaddik, who is the symbol of salt, he is the bris, and bris is melach. The tzaddik has this power. When a person becomes close to the tzaddik, attached to the tzaddik, it's like the tzaddik becomes salt on the person, and he draws out the bad blood from the person. He's able to draw out the depression and the taivos rois that comes from this bad blood, from blood which wasn't used to serve Hashem. The Shitin Mechuzah, here again, why a reference to 60? 60 cities were able to salt from this fish. Zeremes al shishim oisiois shebebirkas kohanim. This represents the 60 letters of the bracha that the Kohanim gave to Bnei Yisrael. Yivorechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, Yor Hashem pono v'elecho v'chuneko, Yisa Hashem pono v'elecho v'yosem lecho sholoim. The Zohar HaKadosh says there are exactly 60 letters in that bracha. Sheheim biyad hatzadik. The tzadik is the one who possesses this power of bracha, of giving a bracha to a Jew. Kamo shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, brachos l'roish tzadik. The tzaddik is the one who possesses the authority and the gift to be able to give a bracha. Now the question is, what's unique about this? We know the Gemara says usually, the more a person has, the worse off they are. Mar benechosin, mar bedaiga. The Gemara says a person increases their wealth, they increase their suffering. A person has more possessions, a person has a car, a person has a this breaks down, that breaks down, they get added trouble. Sometimes a person doesn't realize if they didn't have this item, if they didn't go out looking for additional item that wasn't that necessary for them, they could have escaped a whole set of problems that they never imagined this thing would bring on to them. That's mar benechosim mar bedaiga. And also the Gemara says, Yesh lo imono roitza mosayim, that generally, the more a person has within Gashmias, the more a person hurts. Why? A person who has $5,000, the Gemara says, that person's nature is that he feels that he's missing $5,000. That all it would take to make his life complete, to make him happy, is another $5,000. Yesh lo imono roitza mosayim. A person has 100, he wants 200. What happens when a person has $50,000? His deficit becomes bigger. Now he feels that it's going to take $50,000 to solve his problem. Much more. Whereas when a person comes to a tzaddik, and a person is zeicha to receive a bracha from a tzaddik, the pasuk says, Birkas Hashem hi ta'ashir, V'lo Yosef Otsev, that the bracha of Hashem, when a person receives their shefa as a blessing from Hashem, he becomes wealthy, and there's no increase of depression. There's no added troubles. That's when the shefa comes through a bracha from a tzaddik. If it comes by itself, then the nature of things within this olam agashmi is, the more you get, the worse off you are. The less you have, the better off you are. Whereas when the more that you're getting, you're receiving via a bracha from a tzaddik, then it has this blessing in it that it doesn't bring along with it this curse and this deficit, which if it came otherwise. And the Gemara went on to say that from one eyeball of this fish, they were able to extract 300 barrels of oil. Rabbi Nazal says, Garvi Moshcha, barrels of oil, Zebechinas Hadas. That represents wisdom, knowledge. Ki Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, Zebechinas Sechel. Because oil, pure holy oil, that represents the wisdom, the intellect of a person. The neshama is called Ner Elikim Nishmas Adam. The neshama is compared to a candle. What feeds a candle? The oil. The oil in it is what allows the candle to burn and to shine. That's the wisdom, the intellect of a person is compared to this oil that allows this candle to burn, to light a path for the person. Utlas meo, and the number 300, zebechinas Moshe. The number 300 represents Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehu bechinas mo. Moshe Rabbeinu was a combination of two things. There's a pasuk in the Torah where all the Jews ganged up on Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and they wanted to scream at them, why haven't you done this for us? Why can't you provide us this and this and this? Moshe Rabbeinu's response to them was, V'nachnu mo. Me and my brother Aaron, you know what we are? We are nothing. What are you complaining to us? I'm zero. You want to complain to somebody? Complain to the one who's in a position to help you. Complain to Hashem. Don't look to me like I'm the big shot here, like I'm the one in a position to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nachnu mo, we are nothing. Where did he get this from? Because part of his name, the word Moshe, has in it this mo, mem hei, which means nothing, plus a shin. Shin is the number 300. Rabbi Nazal says, Shehu bechinas Moshe, okay, Shahat tzaddik maktin es atzmoi bebechinas mo. The tzaddik is the one who's able to humble himself and consider himself nothing. Bishloisha bechinois tzorich lahaktin es atzmoi. A person who wants to achieve humbleness, there are three areas where it's appropriate, where humbleness is appropriate. If a person who's a nobody gets up in front of a big crowd and says, I want you to know I'm a nobody, he's not being modest. He's simply telling the truth. He's stating a fact. That's not called humbleness. That's reality. It's only if a person has something to be proud of and something that could give kavod and arrogance, and the person says, even though I possess what it takes to be respected, still I refuse and I reject completely any respect that's coming to me, that's called humbleness and modesty. Now the question is, where is respect deserving? The Torah tells us this. There's a pasuk that says, Rabbi Nazal is going to bring this now, Rabbi Nazal says, that a person who wants to humble himself has to do it in three areas. Kemoshe Kosev, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Al Yishalel, Chochom, Bechochmosoi, Gibor, Begvurosoi, Veoshir, Bashirusoi. An intellectual and a man who is powerful and a person who is wealthy, to them the Torah says, Al Yishalel, don't pride yourself. These are people where kavod could apply. And the Torah warns, don't accept the kavod to yourself, but rather, to Hashem. Pass it on to Hashem. If somebody looks up to you because you're wealthy, tell them, you don't have to respect me for my wealth, you have to respect the one who gave it to me. Avram Avinu, he would first put out a beautiful, magnificent spread for his guests, and he would feed them in a fantastic way, and after they would be finished eating, they would say, could we possibly offer a thanks to you, an acknowledgement for what you've given us? He would say, definitely not. If you would, it would be totally misplaced. If you offer the thanks to me, you're making a mistake. You're thanking the wrong party. I would rather suggest that you thank the one from whom this originates from, which is Hashem, the creator of the world, who gave me everything that you just benefited from. So we see a concept of a person using his wealth not to obtain any personal kavod, but to see to it that the kavod is given only to Hashem. This is in terms of financial wealth, in terms of any power, strength that a person has, or in terms of any sechel that a person is blessed with. Nimtza, we see from this, shebechol bechino me'elu sholish bechinois, that in each one of these three categories, hunase mo. Moshe Rabbeinu was zeicha to become nothing, to consider himself nothing. Even though he was one who fulfilled these three, how do we know he fulfilled these three? Because the Gemara says that nevuah is only comes to a person if he is a chacham, a gibor v'oshir. The Gemara makes a clear statement like that, that a person is only zeicha to nevuah if he has these three qualities. And since Moshe Rabbeinu was the most outstanding Navi, he certainly possessed these three. So when the Torah tells us that he was the most modest person, it means he perfected himself in the full spectrum of modesty, which is in these three areas. This is the secret of his name, Moshe. The shin is a letter that has three kavin, three pipes, representing three categories of greatness. The mo represents that he achieved a level of nothingness, considering himself nothing in all three areas where it counts, where it's possible for a person not to consider himself a nothing, to take pride, to feel great. In all three areas, he fixed that completely. How? Rabbi Nizal says, "Vayidezem through the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to this, yeshloi hispashtus hagashmius, because he perfected this more in all areas, he actually achieved a level of nothingness, which means he rose above something. The olam hagashmi, the physical world, is called something yesh. Moshe Rabbeinu went above that into ayin, into the spiritual world," which is sometimes referred to as this term nothing, meaning nothing in the physical sense. She'umedabek bo'er ein soiv. And the tzaddik is zeicha to attach himself to the infinite light of Hashem. She'ein shom shum shinui rotzoin. Where there's no concept of two by Hashem. There's no concept of a right and a left, a good and a bad, kindness and harshness. Once the tzaddik rises to this level of ayin, of ein soif, over there is only the oneness of Hashem. Elo Hashem hu elikim. On that level, the tzaddik is zeicha to realize that both Hashem yudke vavke and Elokim, which represents Midas Hadin, that they're both actually one and the same. That it's not as if Hashem has two faces. Sometimes he's nice to us, sometimes he's terrible to us, chas v'shalom. But rather the person is zeicha to understand completely how even those things that other people misinterpret as being bad and terrible, this person is zeicha to see the good in it, how it was really for our benefit, to our advantage. Hainu kuloi hatoiv ha-meitiv. The person is zeicha to realize that Hashem is all good and only good. Just like lahavdil, you get an example, a person who wants to become stronger, a person who wants to really make their body physically very strong. What does a person do? A person starts exercising. The first time they go to do exercise, after having not done it, any strain on the muscles leads the person to a Charlie horseness. Charlie horse means however weak he was before having begun the exercise program, now he feels even worse than that. And a person looking at this would say, "You fool, what do you do? What do you do going to this exercise place to start exercising? As weak as your muscles were yesterday, now that you did the exercise, you're much weaker." And a chacham who knows, understands a little bit more, knows that this is part of the process of going up. That the first day, the first time you attempt it, there's this Charlie horseness, this extra weakness that you feel, but that prepares you for the second time. The second time you do it already, the Charlie horse is lessened a little bit, and suddenly you feel the muscles starting to get stronger than they were on day one, or on day zero. And then the third day it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Here's a clear example of, unless a person knows the derech of how this is supposed to work, unless a person knows what's up ahead, they can't fully understand how what appears to be a problem is not. It's actually part of the solution. Step one of the solution appears to be a step down, but really it's a step up. There are times that a person goes through a new stage in their life, in Parnosa, whatever it is, and a person starts a new job, and the first day is terrible. And a person says, I felt so much better before I went to work entirely. And just that's the beginning. The beginning, kol hascholois koshois. The beginning is hard. But that prepares you, once you get over that initial hurdle, you see how necessary it was, and how it was all for the good. Rabbein Azal says, v'zeh b'chinas chad galgol adeino. This is why the Gemara uses the wording, one eyeball. What does this concept of one eye refer to? This is a concept that's mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says there are a few psukim in Tehillim and in other places that appear to be contradictory. There's one pasuk that says, Einei Hashem el tzadikim, implying kaviyuchel, as if we say Hashem has two eyes, not physically, not in a physical sense, but it uses the word Einei plural. And in other psukim it says, Hinei Ein Hashem el yireyov, the eye of Hashem. The eye implies that there's one. And there are several other places like this. We have this conflicting thing. Which is it, one eye or two eyes? And the Zohar HaKadosh explains that when we refer to Hashem kaviyochel as having two eyes, that refers to a lower level of perception, whereby it appears to us that Hashem is watching over us. The eyes are used to watch over us. However, this watching reflect itself in kindness and harshness. There are times that Hashem is looking at us in a favorable manner, with chesed. There are times that He's looking at us with judgment, pain, suffering. Whereas, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbein Azal says, now this is the concept of chad gal gladeino, kemuva, as it's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, ulezimno da'osi, in the future, when Mashiach will come, yishtakach bo eino chad derachmi. Then, Kaviyochel Hashem will have the appearance of one eye, implying, then we'll see that what we perceived originally as being two, a right and a left, a good and a bad, kindness and harshness, will be zecher to come to the realization that it's all actually one, that it's all hatoiv v'hametiv. That's this eino chad derachmi, this one eye, the Zohar HaKadosh calls it eino pikicha, one eye of super high level wisdom. The pasuk says, "Uberachamim gedolim akapzech." That when Mashiach is going to come, it's not going to be there's rachamim. Now there's rachamim. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be what's known as rachamim gedolim, a much higher level of kindness, where the Yidden will zoich to achieve an understanding how everything that took place in the Golos, all the suffering, all the persecution, was all actually good. Was all actually positive. Nimtza, kishahatzadik oisa atzmoimo, we see from this that when the tzadik is zeche to bring himself to a level of mo, to humble himself to the point where he feels literally like nothing, medabek is atzmoi le'eno chad rachmi, he rises to this level, this place that's called nothing, this super high spiritual level of this Eino Chad Derachmi, Kaviyochel, this one eye of Hashem. Hainu Le'ein Soif, this refers to the level of infinity by Hashem, Kaviyochel, the Keser, the upper world. V'acharkach, and afterwards, Kishechoizer, when the Tzaddik comes back down, when the Tzaddik experiences this high, and then he comes back down from it. Bebechinas rotzui voshoiv, as the Novi says about the Malochim, the angels in heaven, that they also go up and come back down. Oz mamshich me'oir ein soiv ho'achdus ho'rotzoin ha'poshut shom derech ha'mo sheloi. Then the tzaddik is zoiche to bring down with him some of this oneness. Some of this oneness that exists on that highest level where good and bad are one, the tzaddik is zeche to bring that back down with him. Derech hamo sheloi, through his mo. Remember, what allowed him to climb up? The fact that he had this level of mo, he considered himself nothing. In how many areas? Three mo's. The tzaddik had three mo's. And that's what allowed him to climb up very high. Now when he comes back down, he brings down with him in each one of these three mors some of the achdus of Hashem, some of this oneness that he tasted up there. Kemoshekosov, as the Gemara says, al tikri mo elomeo. There's a pasuk that says, mo Hashem alikecho shoyel miimcho kim li'av ol'iro. The Gemara says, al tikri mo elomeo. This refers to the 100 brachos that Hashem says a Jew is commanded to say every single day, to count your blessings. This concept of count your blessings is an expression that's used when a person thinks they don't have it that good. We say count your blessings, meaning try that. You stop and think how lucky you are, how many things you have to be thankful about, and even those things that you perceive to be a little bit bad, compared to the problems that other people have, this is a blessing. They would consider what you call suffering, they would wish that upon themselves, compared to the kind of suffering they have. So Rabbi Nazal says, we see there's this concept of more being converted to mayor, to 100. Therefore, the tzaddik, who had these three levels of mor, from his three levels of mor, he's mamshich the achdus into each one of these mors, he's mamshich an aleph into the mor, and it becomes three times meyo, 300. And he brings some of this infinite light of Hashem, this light of the Keser, he brings it into his own das, into his own sechel. As we say on Shabbos about Moshe Rabbeinu, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi, ki evenemon korosloi, kilil teferes nosata b'roshoi, that this crown of beauty that Moshe Rabbeinu had on his head, this is matnas chelkoi. This is his chelek that he takes when he comes down from this super high, this oir ha'elef, these thousand oirois that are returned to Moshe Rabbeinu, the aleph, which represents Aleph, the thousand. Umamshich oirazel, okay, hainu garvi the moshcha. And this is what's being referred to here as barrels of oil. Shehu bechinas seichel kanal. This is the wisdom. Ato horei soladas. What's written about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he said to his people, to his students, through me, you were zeichet to get to understand Hashem better than any other generation. Based on his highs, when Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to rise up to such a high level, to understand the achdus of Hashem, to taste this realization that Hashem is one, that chesed and gvur are actually one, vayavar Hashem al ponav. What was the revelation that Moshe Rabbeinu received? When Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, what does the pasuk say? Vayavar Hashem al ponav. The Sefer HaKodesh says, what is Vayavor? Vayavor is Ayin Beis, Resh Yud Vov. Ayin Beis is Chesed, 72. Resh Yud Vov is Begimatria Gevura. The word Vayavor has in it the letters Vov Yud Resh, which is Gevura, and Ayin Beis, which is Chesed. Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet that when Hashem revealed himself to him, he was zeichet to see how they were both one. When Hashem passed over him, in that, Moshe Rabbeinu achieved this hasoga of getting to understand how what appears to other people to be chesed and din, how that's really one and the same. And a tzaddik, or a person that's zeichet to this level, that person is zeichet to thank Hashem, to make a bracha of hatoy v'hameitiv for everything that happens, as will be when Mashiach comes, as will be in the future. Nowadays, the Gemara says, "Bayom hahu yihiyah Hashem echod u'shmoy echod." There's a pasuk that says that in the future, when Mashiach comes, Hashem will be one and His name will be one. So the Gemara asks himself, "You mean to say now there's two?" So the Gemara says, in a sense, yes. The Gemara says, nowadays, when a good thing happens to a Jew, he makes a bracha hatoiv ametiv. When what a person perceives as a bad thing happens to him, he makes a bracha boruch dayan emes. Whereas losid lovoi, when Mashiach will come, the Jews will come to see, to a realization, how everything is only good. Bayoyma hu yihi Hashem echod u'shmo echod. They'll taste this aleph, this echod. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzadik Emes, is the one who zeicha while he's physically alive, through his anivus, because he zeicha to perfect himself in humbleness in the three major categories, which are seichel. He zeicha not to be a shlum, not to be a schlepper, but to run as fast as he can, to learn as much as he possibly can, and to get to know everything that he possibly can. And the more knowledge he adds, the more humble he becomes. The more he has 500 pieces of knowledge, he's humble in 500 levels, he gains 600 pieces of knowledge, he's still just as humble, he's 600 units of humbleness. Same thing with Gevura, same thing with Ashirus. He had $100,000, he wasn't a big shot. He acted equal to anybody else, equal to somebody who had 5 cents. He got $5 million, and he still maintained that same degree of modesty. If a Jew is zeicha to anova, which is called mo, nothing, in these three areas, the shin, the chocham, gevura, and ashirus, that person achieves this level of Moshe. Moshe was the one who perfected himself. The Torah testifies about him, voish Moshe onav moid. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir daik bishmo, that the rabbis said, anytime a Jew has a certain name, in that person's name is hidden a lot of information about the person. Within Moshe Rabbeinu's name, Rabbeinu Zal shows us here, we see his most outstanding quality reflected perfectly. We'll do one short piece more. We'll finish this chapter now. Rabbeinu Zal says, the Gemara continues, Ki hadron vason labosa treisei archi. They said, when we returned after 12 months, shato, a year, v'kochazin on davam nasri k'shur migarmayu, we saw that they were breaking off from the bones of this fish, they were forming boards. And they were going to use that, preparing it, to rebuild those 60 cities. Rabbi Nazal explains now. The Kedusha itself is referred to, the Shlemus HaKedusha, is the 12 tribes of Klal Yisrael. They represent the totality of Kedusha. When we say the most outstanding tefillah that a Jew says during the day, which is the Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, 6 words. Boruch Shem Kivoyit Malchus Soileilam Voed is exactly 6 words. The Meforshim say this corresponds to the Yud Beis Shiftei Ko. Who were the ones who said this? The Gemara says it was when Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to them the time of the coming of Moshiach, and he saw that the Shekhinah left him, so he said to them, maybe you've lost, he figured maybe because they weren't worthy to hear the information, so he said to them, do you still believe in Hashem? And they responded, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then he said, Boruch Shem Kvod Malchus Soileilam Voed. Why those two psukim? Because those two psukim represent the purity of the Yud Beis Shiftei Kor, the 12 Shvotim, who represent the totality of Kedusha. Rabbi Nazal says now, however, behind the Kedusha, in back of the Kedusha, which is referred to as these 12 Shvotim, She'al Yodom Nistakein Malchus Hanal, these 12 Shvotim are the ones who represent the Tikkun HaMalchus. We find there's a pasuk that says, Be Melochim Yimleichu, B, Yud Beis, Pasuk and Mishlei, through me, kings will rule. Through me is the Torah. But the word B is used, Yud Beis, referring to the Yud Beis Shiftei Ko, who represent this Mamleches Kohanim, this kingdom. The Shlemus HaMalchus is this number 12. Rabbi Nazal says, outside of them, V'achareyem Huatuma, outside the 12 Shvotim, there exists Tuma, the nations of the Goyim, etc. There are people, Rahman al-Islam, who through sins that they commit, they leave the boundary of Kedusha. This is what the Tana says. Rabbi Bar Bachana says, after 12 months had gone by, meaning, after is achar, and achore also means behind. When he investigated what's behind the 12 months, what's behind the 12 Shvotim, Shehem Achayre Shehem Osa Shvotim Dikdusha, Sheyotzim Yiklal Yisrael, Aydei Maaseh Moroim, referring to those Jews who take themselves out of the category of the 12 Shvotim through their evil deeds, V'chazinon Davi Menasri Migarmayu, I saw that their bones were being broken. Hainu, Shalidei Maseim, Horoim Hachakukim Alatzmoisim, through their Averois, which are carved out on their bones, Vahakiko Oivermeh, Veleiver, Kinesira Mamish, and this engravement passes through from one end of the bone to the other end of the bone. Aval Yidei Sheisha Yisraeli Anal Nisoyer, Bechuva Alidei Sheretz Kotun Shebenachira. These people who fall to such a low level where they're outside the category of Kedusha, many times, while they're down there, nothing's really happening. Then the person goes through one experience where he falls much lower than he was even at that point. He takes a real drop, and that suddenly makes him come alive, makes him wake up and realize that he has to do something to come close to the Kedusha. He has to fall very far down in order to ring a big bell, and that's what ends up leading him back to the Kedusha. Aval al yidei she'ish ha'yisraeli hanal nis'oyer b'tshuva, al yidei sheretz kotin she'benachiro. So now, this Jew, when he becomes aroused to tshuva through this sheretz kotin that entered into his nostrils, which manifests itself by each person in their major downfall in religion, al yidei she'hergish tumaktana she'mevavel soysoy, through his feeling this pinch that he suddenly got from this small tuma that went into him, when he does tshuva, not only does he bring himself back, but he's able also to affect a rippling effect that all around him, many other Rishoim, who also needed something to stun them, by his getting this electric shock, this super avera that he got hit by, which causes him to come back, in his coming back, when a person is dropped into mud, when you pull that person out of the mud, he doesn't come out clean. There's a lot of the mud that clings to him at the time and that comes out with him. And part of that mud also gets cleansed in the process, Rabbein Azal says. Goyrim shigam elu rishom nase kisei l'kdusha. This person not only corrects himself, but he makes a kisei for the kedusha, a throne for the kedusha, in the other rishom that azeicha to return. This is what's referred to in the reconstruction of those cities that were destroyed. That these Rishoim now make a comeback and they end up assisting those that are serving Hashem to rebuild those 60 cities. Now Rabbein Azal sums up this whole chapter, everything we've had so far in the past 4 or 5 shiurim. Rabbein Azal is going to show how it's all included in this paragraph. The Aseres Hadibros begins with the words, Hashem says, I am Hashem Elokecha. 2. Pirish, Hein Hashem, Hein Elokecha, Tovin Shekol Zois Anoichi. A Jew is required to get to a level of understanding that both Yudke Vovke and Elokim are both actually one. Yudke Vovke Elokim is Bigimatria Yaboik. That's this concept of Ma'avar Yaboik. That refers to Shmo Shlim, the holiest name of Hashem, is this combination of Yudke Vovke Elokim, the Zohar HaKadosh says. Asher Hoitzei, meaning, Hainu Shetekayim Bashem Ahaldover Belekim Ahaldover, that the Jew should see to it to fulfill this pasuk, to give praise to Hashem when Hashem shows him kindness, Yudke Vovke, and also to praise Hashem when Hashem shows him Elikim, Midas Adin, Hainu Kuloi Hatoiv Ametiv, to get to a level where everything is good. I acknowledge that Kol Man David Min Shmaya Vatav, like the story with Rabbi Akiva that we told earlier. Asher Oitzei Sichum Eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I am the Hashem who took you out of Egypt, Mibei Savodim, from the house of slaves. The Issa B'Medrash, it's written in the Medrash, Ki Kol HaGolios Nikroim Al Shem Golos Mitzrayim. All the exiles that Klal Yisrael go through are all nicknamed Mitzrayim. Why? Mipnei Shehem Meitzirim LiYisrael, because they oppress the Jewish people. The word Meitzar means a constriction, tightness, squeeze. Hainu Shal Yidei HaTzadik Nizbatel Malchusam UMemshaltom Shel Akum. Through the Tzadik, who reaches this hasoga of Hashem Hu Elikim, he zeichet to be mevatel, the malchus, to take them out of Mitzrayim, to break the golus, to break the kingdom of the goyim. Ki al yidei ze oile mitoicho malchus kedusha kanal. He brings forth from the exile the kingdom of kedusha. The Jews walked out of Egypt like bosses, like kings. Yisroel mam shaloisa, betseis Yisroel mi Mitzrayim, Yisroel mam shaloisa, the Pasuk says. Mi beis avodim, they went out of the house of slaves. Ze remez al bitul hamido Yisroel shel arba yisoido yisamachun mishem avodim. This refers to a Jew fixing up all of his midos rois that come from the Dalit Yesoidos, which were Doimim Sameach Chaim Adapra, as we learned earlier, which all draw their power from the Levona. These Dalit Yesoidos are under the umbrella of the moon, the Zohar HaKadosh says. We'll see in a minute. Ki kol ha-Dalit Yesoidos he-mitachas galgal ha-yoreach. The moon is considered above the umbrella on top of these Dalit Yesoidos. Doimim Sameach Chaim Adaber, Eish Ruach Mayim Ofor. And when Hashem said, Yehi Ma'oirois Berekiah Shamayim, let there be light, the word Ma'oirois is written Choser Vov, the Zohar HaKadosh says, as if it would say, Yehi Ma'oras, let there be a curse. And this is what resulted in the light of the moon having to be decreased. Originally, the sun and the moon were equal light, and the Gemara says, as a result of a Kitrug of the Oreach, the moon was lessened. When the moon was lessened, this reflected itself in a pigam in the Dalet Yesoidos, whereby that within the framework of those Dalet Yesoidos that we discussed earlier in the previous year, that within there became a potential for bad, a potential for depression, for Taivas Rois, for Gaiva, for all of those items we discussed. V'hayoreach mechuna b'shem Eved. We know that the moon is nicknamed Eved in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, Hine yaskil avdi, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, Dosiaro. This refers to the moon, the kingdom of Bnei Yisrael, which lasit lovo, it's going to be yaskil, it's going to be zechet to have an aliyah, sechel. Pirish al yedei hatzadik oila hamalchus menaset rachra. Through the tzadik, the malchus rises out of the hands of the klipos, the tumah, when his batlin hamidos rois, the midos rois are destroyed. Vaydezeh ha'odom bo lebchinas oilam haba. Then the person is zeichet to rise to that level called oilam haba lebchinas bashema halel dover belikima halel dover. To rise to the level of coming to understand how to give praise to Hashem when there's Yudke Vavke or Elokim. When the person seems to be getting kindness, seems to be shown kindness from Hashem, or when it appears as if Hashem is showing din, judgment, harshness. With this we conclude this Torah.